How much can be learned from two envelopes and their contents about the people who sent them? In this case, the letters mailed to Senator Daschle and to NBC News anchorman Tom Brokaw. Susan Morton is a forensic document examiner with the San Francisco Police Department. She worked with the Postal Inspection Service for years, and she says finding evidence on envelopes may depend on whether they are self-adhesive.
If they have to be moistened, then there is, of course, the possibility of DNA under the flap of the envelope. And, you know, if you had a stamp stuck on there, that might be a possibility, too. Even the self-adhesive stamps occasionally do have DNA under them because the person has to handle the stamp, and sometimes a bit of their fingerprint or skin cells will adhere.
If an envelope has gone from the person who sent it into a mailbox and was taken there at a post office and then to some other post office, are fingerprints on an envelope ever really useful in an investigation, or have so many people touched an envelope by the time it reaches its destination that it doesn't have much use?
Fingerprints of postal employees are not very commonly found, because when you think about it, they actually don't touch the letters very much. It's all done by machine.
So there actually might be some useful fingerprints.
And paper itself doesn't take fingerprints very well, but it does hold them extremely well. You have to have a very large buildup of perspiration and oil on your fingers to leave a fingerprint on paper, because it's absorbent. So, yes, it could very well have a fingerprint, even on the outside of the envelope, that would be of evidentiary value.
That's assuming, of course, that the person who was stuffing a contagion into an envelope that can make you sick by contact with the skin didn't wear some kind of gloves to be safe about
it. Well, yes, but plastic gloves, like surgical gloves, if they wear them long enough, will act as a second epidermis, and you will start depositing your fingerprints again, because the glove has now become another skin, and it has molded to your fingerprint ridges and become contaminated with the same perspiration and oils that your real skin would become contaminated with and would leave fingerprints.
Well, let's go into the writing on the envelopes now.
Okay.
Could you look at the writing on these envelopes, or could one who is skilled in these matters look at it and say, whoever this is, it's somebody who in all likelihood grew up in North America, rather than somebody who, say, first learned to write with Cyrillic letters or Arabic letters and since has learned how to write in English?
That is a piece of information you can often determine, not with absolute accuracy, but something that you might provide as an investigative lead. When an individual learns to write, they, of course, are given a model alphabet and said, copy these letters as best you can. And the model that you first start out with is going to leave an imprint on your writing in the way that learning a language imprints your speech. And your writing will have the same sort of foreign accent.
Do you recall from your days with the Postal Inspection Service actually being able to work from a document and find it with the help of other leads, perhaps, but really close a case because of the evidence somebody left on an envelope?
Not generally by itself, but sometimes you do find a little piece of evidence that points them some way, some direction. It may not be the right direction, but sometimes it is.
Susan Morton, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're most welcome.
Susan Morton is a forensic document examiner. She used to work with the Postal Inspection Service for many years. Now she is with the San Francisco Police Department.